Immerse yourself in the lives of the BYU Cougars. This is Deep Blue.
This is Deep Blue with Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, BYU basketball superstar A.J. DeBonta. A.J., I cannot tell you how excited I am to have you on this show. Thank you so much for being willing to do this.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. Throughout the entire offseason, you are very active on social media, and a lot of your stuff is chronicling experiences that you've had throughout the offseason across the country, sometimes out of the country. How do you look back on the opportunities that you were able to be a part of heading into this season?
A lot of blessings. I've been to like 4 or 5 countries, a lot of states, just playing basketball, just doing different type of events with my sponsors. So it's just been a blessing.
I guess it goes without question that you're one of the highest profile collegiate athletes and definitely the highest profile athlete to sign with BYU basketball. That popularity comes with a lot of responsibilities and opportunities there. How do you handle that part of the equation as an athlete, a part that maybe doesn't get talked about a whole lot?
I just try to play basketball. Like, I try not to worry about a lot of the mistakes or a lot of the other stuff. Just go out there and compete and try to win games, try to make my teammates better.
That's one of the things that I've noticed. You know, a lot of people say, I'm just all about the basketball. You just love to play basketball, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Because without the basketball, the other stuff really doesn't happen,
exactly.
Right? All right, so one of the benefits of being in the spotlight is you do have opportunities for a tremendous amount of good for other people. And for example, you went on the Nike humanitarian trip to Jamaica. It's one of the places that you were talking about. What was your favorite part of that trip?
Just seeing the kids happy to get and receive like the gifts I was giving them. So I gave away T-shirts, shoes, socks. They're one of those countries that don't have a lot. They have like outdoor courts, so they obviously needed shoes and different type of gear so they can withstand that. They go through their shoes faster than like an indoor court because they're outside on the concrete. So I was just trying to give them some gifts from my sponsors and just trying to help out.
You know, how much we always hear the word perspective. How much perspective does that give you? Because obviously here in the United States, you know, we're very blessed to live in a country that we do. So when you go to these other places and you talk about, you know, seeing kids that don't necessarily have a lot or some of the same things that we have here in the United States, how much does that mean to you?
It means a lot. My mom's from Jamaica, so that's kind of one of the reasons why I chose Jamaica as one of the spots I wanted to go to. So I'm helping her roots, also my roots, because I'm half Jamaican, but it just feels great just knowing that I can be a help.
What did your family think about you being able to do that?
Oh, they loved it. My parents are actually the ones that taught me and my sisters, like, giving back is like what we should be doing. So now it's kind of second nature to me.
You know, and I know your dad's here, and I know family means so much to you as you just talked about. Where would you be without your family right now?
Nowhere. Like, I'd probably just be at home just doing a whole bunch of random stuff. So my family's everything, and they mean everything, and they got me where I am today.
So how much time have you been able to spend with your teammates during the offseason? Because we see, you know, practices and pickup games over at the annex and things like that. How much time were you able to spend with your teammates in the offseason?
Not a decent amount of time. Like, we just did a team activity at Lagoon a couple of days ago. We went to go watch the fireworks on the 4th, or like, not on the 4th, on Pioneer Day.
Mm-hmm.
So just different stuff like that to try to get our bond right.
But we also saw a trip to the bowling alley, which I think went pretty well for you, if I'm remembering correctly.
I mean, I didn't do too well. Like, I mean, I got the style points award. I didn't bowl the highest score, but I definitely got my style points.
So are you – look, anybody that reaches the levels in athletics that you have, you're a competitive guy. Are you competitive at everything? Like, bowling, like, everything you're competitive at?
Yeah, I was trying to win. I was, generally, but I just wasn't that good.
So who, by the way, is the best bowler on the team?
Richie? I think Richie got the highest score out of all the players.
Did he talk any smack afterwards, or is that not Richie's style?
I mean, you heard it. Like, you heard that he won. It wasn't really, like, trash talk, but you know that he won.
Everybody knew Richie won, right? I know that sometimes you don't want to single out anybody, but I think fans are interested with so many new faces on the roster this year, obviously you being one of them. Which of your teammates has caught your eye? Who's somebody that maybe BYU fans should pay attention to this year?
I mean, you're right. Like, I don't want to single out everybody because they're also new to me. So, I mean, a lot of my teammates impressed me. Most, like, all of them, all my teammates really impressed me. Not everybody I got to see on the court because they're doing a little bit of rehab, but I can't really give you one person because a lot of people are doing well. You know, so they should just be excited for just team play.
Wherever you decided to go, it was going to be a new experience, and you were going to have new teammates and things like that. When you're coming into a situation where there's a lot of other new guys, does that help in terms of everybody's kind of in the same boat, so you all kind of feel like you're in it a little bit together?
Probably. But it really depends. Because, like, if I went to a team, like, say, like, the whole team came back last year, mm-hmm. it would kind of be easier to blend in mm-hmm. because they already know each other. But, yeah, we're kind of all in the same boat, and we're getting along together, which is fun.
Give everybody an idea of what some of those practices have been like. Because just looking at some of the videos, it looks like that stuff's pretty intense, even for the offseason.
Yeah, it's definitely intense. We're doing a lot of, like, he's not teaching too much. He's just putting a lot of concepts in so we know what we're doing. So it's a lot of structure. But we're just trying to get in shape, a lot of playing. So by September comes, we can start putting a lot of stuff in.
All right. One of the other things that you were able to do during the offseason is to represent the United States. And it's quite an honor. And you're able to do that at the highest level, winning gold at the FIBA U19s. You've had a lot of really cool accomplishments already in your young career. Where does that accomplishment rank for you?
That might be number one. Like, that was my third gold medal mm-hmm. in 3 years, so that might be number one.
What's that like? I mean, certainly it's not something I'll ever experience, and most people aren't going to get an opportunity to do that. But when you're there representing your country and you look at the jersey and it says USA on it, take me through what emotions like that are like.
Now it's crazy. Just after you win and they play, like, we're in another country and they're playing your national anthem on the stage, it's just like, it's a crazy feeling. And I got to experience that 3 times in a row.
Yeah, what an unbelievable thing. We obviously know how the NBA views you. We know what's waiting for you at the next level. How much do you think about that right now? Or are you able to sort of compartmentalize and say, you know what, that's going to take care of itself. I'm going to focus on what I've got now.
Yeah, exactly what you said. Like, it's going to come whenever I'm ready, but I'm just super excited to just play college basketball. Like, you dream of playing. You obviously dream of the NBA, but everybody dreams of March Madness and playing in conference tournaments and playing college basketball, so I'm just very excited to play college basketball.
Has the NBA been a dream as long as you can remember?
Yeah, since I started playing basketball.
How old were you when you started playing basketball?
When I picked up basketball, I was 5.
5 years old.
Yeah.
Who was your biggest influence growing up? And I mean, I don't necessarily know at 5, but as you got older, who were the biggest basketball influences on you?
From being from that Boston area, Terrence Clark, rest in peace, he was actually like a big influence to a lot of the kids that was growing up there because he was one of the guys that was like taller, who was dribbling the ball, and he went to Kentucky and he was going to be a first-round pick. But from an NBA perspective, Kevin Durant was my favorite player always. But I love Jason Tatum coming from Boston, Jaylen Brown, and Paul George, those type of guys.
And I know that you obviously have a relationship with Kevin Durant. We've seen you guys at games, and he's been sitting next to you. You guys have been able to chat, and I know you guys communicate. What was that like when you were able to, if that's one of your idols, and when you were able to actually talk with him and have a relationship, what was that like for you?
I mean, I don't really get starstruck. The first time I seen him, like, worked out with him, it was just like, yo, let's just work out. Like, we're both basketball players. Like, hopefully, I don't know if he'll still be in the NBA, but hopefully we get to play against or with each other one day. So I'm not trying to be too, like, quote-unquote fanned out. Like, that's going to be my competition one day. So he's a human being, I'm a human being, and we actually have a great relationship, and each other's giving me a lot of advice.
What was it about Kevin Durant? And, I mean, there's certainly a lot to love about his game and what he's done in his career. What is it about him that you looked up to so much?
He's just so simple. Like, his nickname is Easy Money Sniper for a reason. Like, he just gets to it in, like, one or two dribbles. He doesn't take a lot for him to do what he needs to do.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to get into your introduction to basketball. We touched on it just a minute ago, picking up a basketball at 5 years old, and then obviously his rise to basketball fame. We will do that when we return. AJ DeBonsa joining me here on the Deep Blue Podcast on BYU Radio. The Big 12 is full of unforgettable moments, and Big Stories is where they're told. Host Cleon Wall teams up with voices from across the conference to spotlight the biggest plays and the most inspiring stories. Do not miss it. Listen to Big Stories wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast here on BYU Radio. I'm your host, Jason Shepherd. My guest, BYU Basketball's A.J. DeBonsa. All right, so we've touched on it a little bit. Let's go back. Let's rewind the tape to your early days growing up in Brockton, Massachusetts. For those that may not know where Brockton is, tell everybody where that's at.
It's about 25 minutes south of Boston, the capital.
So what type of place is Brockton? What was it like to grow up there?
No, it's a city. It's a big city. There's a lot of people there. Brockton High School is actually one of the top 10 biggest high schools in the country. I never went there, but everybody pretty much knows each other for the most part. It's not super small, but if you're from Brockton, everybody knows you're from Brockton. But it's just a great place to be.
So is it safe to say then you mentioned, you know, like Jason Tatum, guy like that on the Celtics. Are you all things Boston when it comes to pro sports? You Patriots fan, all that stuff?
Patriots, Bruins, Red Sox, Celtics. Everything.
Did you grow up going to all those games as well?
Yeah. I've never been to a Bruins game, but I've went to every other sport event.
Do you have a favorite Boston sports moment that stands out to you?
I think the first ever game I've been to was the Kevin Garnett Celtics era.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember. I have pictures, so right. I guess that was my favorite moment.
That's not a bad era to be introduced to a Boston Celtics basketball. We mentioned that you picked up a basketball for the first time at the age of 5. How old were you when you dunked for the first time? Do you remember?
I was leaving 6th grade, so going into 7th grade. So what's that, 13?
Yeah.
Yeah.
13 years old. Was it in a game? Was it just out in the backyard?
No, it was in warm-ups. I was warming up for a game. I dunked, and then I didn't dunk for another year after that. It was probably 9 feet, to be honest. Now looking back, it was probably a 9-foot.
So why did it take another year for you to dunk again?
Because I think it was a 9-foot rim. I didn't realize it till later.
Look, I wouldn't be if I dunked on a 9-foot rim, I would be telling everybody in the world that I dunked on a 9-foot rim. So you said in some other interviews that family's everything to you. You mentioned that, in your rise to national prominence. We talked about the role of your family. In what ways did they help you most growing up in sort of helping you realize this dream?
Just staying humble and just realizing everything's earned, not giving. Learn to earn everything and work hard instead of having everything handed to you.
Well, and I mentioned that your dad is here with you, and your dad has done an excellent job of being able to kind of help navigate some of the things off the court for you. How much of a benefit has that been for you, because it's somebody that you love and somebody that you trust, but also to be able to have those shared experiences together?
Yeah, it's just great knowing that he's going to protect me and help me. He does most of the stuff off the court to protect and help me, and I just know that he's going to do the right thing. I just listen to him.
Take me through what a day was like schedule-wise for you in your younger basketball years as you were getting older. You got up at what time, and then what was the day like for you?
You want a summer day or a school day?
Let's go with both. Tell me what the difference was.
Yeah, in the summer it was probably more workouts. So in the summer I'd probably do a 7 a.m. workout, then go back at and go at 8:30, go lift, or vice versa. Come back at 1, and then do runs at 6, or hop in the Boston League at 6 and go play, and then just eat in between and do stuff like that. But school, I went to school in the morning and then I worked out after, so I only do two workouts a day when school happened.
Wow. So take me through high school then, because as you meant, you moved around a little bit for high school. So what was your high school experience like?
I started playing high school basketball in 8th grade. They let me play at St. Sebastian as an 8th grader, played 8th and 9th grade there, reclassed up to my original grade, and played at Prolific Prep for my junior year, and then played at Utah Prep for my senior year.
Did you enjoy? Look, it's a little different than what most people will go through. They don't have the opportunities that you had to kind of go to some of these basketball places. Did you enjoy that, moving around and having these different experiences?
Yeah, I did. I think it prepared me for college. I think this college transition is going very smoothly. I think it's going to be harder for others not being away from their parents. It's going to be their first time being away from their parents, but I think it's pretty smooth transition for me.
So was it tough though at first though, for what you mentioned, new places and being away from family? I mean, that's a natural feeling for kids to go through. Did you have any of that?
Yeah, definitely. When I was at Prolific Prep in California, I was 3 hours behind my whole family, but thank God I had a great host family that took me in and took me under their wing, and they did a great job.
When did the national attention really start to heat up for you?
I think my reclass year, so I was probably 15 in eighth grade.
Did it take you by surprise, or was this, hey, this is what I've been preparing for?
No, it kind of did take me by surprise. Cause I was just playing. I didn't feel like I was playing that good, but I had a couple highlight plays, and then people just started like blowing up.
Is that when you get that type of attention? And obviously, it's only gotten bigger. How hard or easy is that to deal with when it's coming at you like that?
I mean, yeah, it's not the easiest. I mean, it's not for the weak. There's a lot of like times where like I just want to be like a kid and stuff like that, but it comes with it, and like my ultimate dream is I'm gonna get even more bigger. So it was good to deal with it early.
Were you able to have those moments where you did feel like I'm just a kid right now, or did you want to make sure you pushed forward through that?
I mean, I had a childhood until like seventh grade.
Sure,
but after that, like, nah.
So give us a look into what your college recruitment was like. I mean, obviously you could have gone anywhere you wanted to go to. Take me through navigating the recruiting process and what that was like, because I've got to imagine that was to say it's insane is probably an understatement.
No, I really wasn't. Like, I had my goals and I had my like pillars. I just needed a great coach who was going to develop me. I needed a great team that was a winning team. I needed a non-sugarcoating coach, and my ultimate dream was to go to the NBA. So what was going to be the best way to get me there? And BYU was just checking all the boxes off, so it wasn't that hard.
Why was the things that you just mentioned, why were those the things that were most important to you? What about those things make them important to you?
One, I don't like losing, so I needed a winning team. Two, my ultimate dream is the NBA, and Kevin Young came straight from the NBA and has NBA staff members with him. And that was like pretty much it. Like those two things, like I don't want to lose, but I want to make it to the NBA, but I want to enjoy college.
Explain how BYU came into the picture. You obviously said that BYU checked all the boxes, but how did that process begin?
Yeah, then they offered me like when I was at USA. So I went to USA. Now I think it was like right after I won gold, I went to Utah Prep, and I think they offered KY. I think it was Brandon Dunson who called and offered me.
What did you know about BYU prior to?
I didn't know anything.
Did you know?
I think Mark Pope's staff offered me, mm-hmm. and then he got his Kentucky job. So the only thing I knew was like, oh, Mark Pope, what he was doing for the school and the organization.
When, like, I want to ask you about the announcement on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. And this is probably a question that will lead into that. But when you decided to come to BYU, what did your peers have to say about that decision?
I mean, some thought it was a stupid decision. I never cared.
Where does that come from? Because you're a very confident player and certainly a confident person, but you're very confident in your situation. Where does that come from? That's very obvious.
Just my gut feeling, just knowing, just trusting everything, believing in God. Those main three things.
What role did faith play for you growing up?
A big faith. We used to go to church every Sunday. I went to a Catholic school for 6th through 11th grade. I was at a religious school, so.
So coming to another religious school wasn't a big deal for you, right?
Too hard for me, yeah.
Let's go to the announcement. And I remember I was at the gym watching it that morning. And you know, obviously we all had our fingers crossed that it was going to turn out the way it obviously did. How did that get set up to do this on First Take?
We wanted a different type of announcement. We didn't want to go the typical route that everybody does, just like a video or just like going on a regular site. So we had a hookup, to get on Stephen A's First Take, and we obviously said yes. And we just wanted to do it bigger and better.
There's obviously been a lot of talk on how Stephen A. Smith was obviously a bit surprised and kind of challenged the decision a little bit. What did you make of that back and forth? Because it sounds like you kind of heard some similar stuff from other people along the way.
Yeah, like he was obviously confused. He was saying I should have went to a blue blood, but I was trying to say that BYU is a blue blood. Like we also wear blue. You consider schools that wear blue at blue bloods, and we also wear blue. But he thought I was going to go the typical route. Me and my family aren't typical people, so we just go a different route.
BYU fans are certainly well known for their passion and certainly for their presence on social media. When you made that decision, I've got to assume you were inundated on social media from BYU fans just thrilled. What has been your interactions with Cougar fans? Because they certainly love you. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that we have the best fans in the world. Like, I'll be seeing them all over. When I went to New York, I recorded a video. There was BYU fans there. I see them in the airport. Every time I'm coming back to Salt Lake, I see them everywhere. So, like, we definitely have the best fans.
Look, do you still – speaking of that trip to New York – and what was funny was when I saw that video come out of you in Times Square and you had the picture behind you and the number that they could text for things, our family had just been there like 3 weeks ago. So I'm like, I know exactly where that's at. But even though you've had a lot of cool things, you're standing in the middle of New York City in Times Square and there's a billboard of you behind it. Is it still somewhat amazing that this is the life you're leading right now?
Yeah, it is. I definitely didn't think this was going to be a life growing up, but that's reality now, so I just go with the flow and just thank God.
I've said this many times on air that of all the things that excites me about you, your game, and your decision to play at BYU is how genuinely excited you always are to be a BYU Cougar and to promote BYU whenever you get a chance. You can tell how much you want to be here, and fans can see that, they feel that. Even before the games are played, what does this place and this team mean to you?
Everything, like the way they recruited me, the way the visit was, I think the visit, like, I don't think the fans understood like how much like their like help like played into like my role. Obviously it was KY and the basketball organization, like what the academics were like, but the fans actually played a big role, like going to the football game. And I came to watch them play, I think, Idaho, and they were chanting my name and stuff like that. I just felt loved being here.
Well, and you even during the process before, you were here quite a bit. And obviously being at Utah Prep help is it's not that far away. But this is a place that you've really bonded with quickly. Did that surprise you a little bit?
No, it didn't. Like, I could feel it. Like, I just felt the family atmosphere.
You've said that you think this team can win a national championship. Why do you think this team has the tools to do that?
I know a lot of people, like, they hopped on a bandwagon last year. So we have a lot of bandwagon fans, like, from the outside. They thought, like, oh, okay, BYU, I know AJ's come in there, but they're not that good. KY made it to the Sweet 16 his first year, then everybody wants to hop on the bandwagon. So if he can make it to the Sweet 16 in 1 year, imagine what he can do in year two and continuing to do in year three, four, and .
How big of a selling point, besides all of the things that are BYU-centric, how big of a deal was playing in the Big 12 for you?
No, it was a big deal. I think it's top two, if not the best league for basketball. Very physical, a lot of great teams. I think we had the second most teams in the tournament last year. So it's just, you know, I like to play against great competition.
Who else in the conference, and maybe even guys that have either recently been drafted, who else are you close with? That you consider friends and close friends with?
A lot of guys from this past year's draft, obviously playing against them in the UIBL and Hoop Summit and those type of guys. So, like, Cooper, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson, Jeremiah Fears, like, all those guys that got drafted this year, I'm actually pretty close with them. But a lot of guys that will, I would assume, get drafted in 2026, I'm also very close to, too.
Well, a lot of BYU fans are also going to be Utah Jazz fans, and Ace Bailey was drafted by the Jazz. Have you had a chance to talk with him since he was drafted?
Yeah, I seen him at Summer League. So, like, 2 weeks ago, I seen him. The Jazz were playing, and I got to say what's up and just chatted up with him.
Any chance you're going to see, maybe ask Ace if maybe he can come down and check out a BYU game during one of the off days?
I think he definitely will. Yeah, you'll probably see him at the game.
That will definitely be cool. All right, before we wrap things up, what excites you most about the experience and opportunity ahead of you?
That's a lot of things. Like, I'm just actually very excited to play in front of The Rock. Like, I was in The Rock 2-3 times chanting, but now being on the court, I want to see how that feels like.
What was that experience like? You seemed to be having a great time when we saw the pictures of that.
Yeah, like, I ran all the way up to the top. It was, like, trying to show everybody some love. Because everybody only sees, like, the first, like, what, 20 rows? But I went all the way to the top with Anthony Falesi. He was on an unofficial visit, so I was trying to show him the culture.
Well, I appreciate you being willing to do this. I know you get asked to do a ton of these things. You're being pulled in a lot of different directions. So for you to be able to carve out a few minutes to do this today with me, cannot say thanks enough. I'm so excited to have you here. Cannot wait to see you on the floor with your teammates and certainly to see what this BYU team can do. AJ, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you.
All right. My name is Jason Shepherd. Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.